Pastor Colin called me on Saturday morning, and the first thing he said was, "I trust your heart is full of forgiveness." Well, what else could you be after that? So he said that right after he'd made the date with me, before he'd written it down, somebody came and asked him something, and he got distracted, and he never wrote it down. And as it happened, on Saturday morning, Caroline said to him, "When are you going to Les and Dot?" And he said, "Oh, my word, I think it was meant to be the last night." So he asked to apologize to you, and they're moving at the end of June to a new house, so we've agreed to fix a date after the end of June once they've moved. So we'll give them a little space to pack and get themselves sorted out. That was an amazing question. How badly do we want to go to where he is? How badly do we want to see from his perspective? How frightening could it be to let go what we are holding on to, the familiar and the trusted, and go to the place where he wants us to be? How frightening could that be? How white-knuckled are we when we hang on with everything we've got to our security? Are we prepared to be turned upside down? Are we prepared to be turned on our heads? Are we prepared to let go because we long for him so much that it doesn't matter what it means we've got to give up as long as we can have him and as long as he can have all of us? It was a rather extraordinary time last Friday. I remember just getting up here, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what we're going to do." I'd gone in my iPad to find an old sermon I could preach, and I couldn't find one that would work. And I thought, "So what are we going to do?" And I felt the Lord say, "You can't do anything." And then he reminded me of that wonderful scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul makes the statement about the thorn in his flesh, and he says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." So right now you are a weak man. You cannot rely on anything. You can't hold on to anything. You don't have a great sermon prepared. You've got nothing. So right now you're a weak man. Are you prepared to trust me and let my strength be made perfect in this moment? And it was a great night. I loved it. I thought it was a wonderful night. And we just don't want to go back to doing the familiar thing, because I just think that was not where God wants us to be from now on. Hallelujah. I've come to understand a lot about change this week, and I've been praying a lot about what God did. And somebody said to me, "In future, you should pretend Pastor Colin's coming every week and not prepare." Which is a greatly encouraging thing to say for anything I might have preached up to now. But still, here we go. But the Lord is showing me that real change starts with the way we think. Whatever's going to happen on the outside of your and my life has a lot to do, everything to do with the way you or I think and what is going on inside our minds. There's a wonderful scripture, and you know it well, when Paul talks in Romans 12 about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I want to read it to you just from the New Living Translation, which is a little similar, but just a little more contemporary perhaps. And he says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And it's really, you know, each one of us have come a journey, and in that journey, what we've understood about God has been shaped by various people who've given us input into our lives, some with good intentions, some with less possibly, but we've got a jumble, and some of us have gone online and watched things on the God Channel, and we've got bits and pieces of information. And we take all that together and we say, we form some sort of idea of what we think from what everybody has said to us and what every bit of input is. I mean, I go all the way back to about 3 years old in Sunday school and you know, what people said to me then. And I've put all this together and it forms a thought in my mind. And then I begin to live according to what I think. And what's going on around me has everything to do with what's going on the inside of me. And if there's something good going on the inside of me, generally things are good around me. And so I want to read you a piece of scripture which you probably know very well. But it's the story of Jesus, and he's just finished feeding the 5,000 and ministering to the people. And he says to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. He really just wanted to get some time away from the crowd, I guess. And this we find in Mark chapter 4 is the account I'm going to read. And it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And this is a very well-known passage of Scripture. And they're amazed that the wind and the waves obey him. But the thing that God wants us to unpack a little bit from this and see what he wants us to understand. The first thing you've got to understand is that Jesus said, let's cross to the other side of the lake. And he made his destination very clear. And he never said, let's cross to the bottom of the lake. He said, let's cross to the other side of the lake. And so Jesus gave the destination to them, and he was perfectly happy and calm about everything else, and he went to sleep in the bottom of the boat. And as Bill Johnson once said, you can only rebuke the storm that you prepare to sleep through. And he was asleep in the storm, and the waves started washing over the sides of the boat, and then the disciples became terrified. And I want to draw a parallel here, because so often when you and I have made a decision to go and do something or live in a way that we believe God wants us to live. We've made this decision and we get moving on our course and we're clear on where we're going. Sometimes we encounter a storm along the way and the waves look pretty big and the water starts washing over the side of the boat and you begin to think, am I going to get there? Is this really going to happen? And it's not water this time. It's just circumstances, people, finances. It could be all kinds of things that cause us to begin to wonder, are we going to get there? Are we really going to make this as we had set out to do? And the thing I want you to understand is that Jesus was sleeping at the time that this was going on. And to me, I've had this picture since I read this on Monday. I've had this picture in my mind of Jesus. I paint for a hobby, and I want to paint this. I want to paint this picture of Jesus sleeping in a boat with the waves washing over the sides and this complete rest on his face, which it shows no anxiety for the waves or anything else that's going on. He's asleep because he knows where he's going. His father didn't say he's going anywhere else but to the other side. And so I have this beautiful picture in my mind of Jesus, and then this incredible thing that happens. The disciples wake him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And what that shows me, first of all, is that they've already made up their mind they're going to drown. That's why they're saying, don't you care that we're going to drown? They've already decided they're not going to make this. They're with the Son of God. They've seen the miracles he's done, but they are convinced they're not going to get to the other side. They're going to drown here. And they wake him up simply to say, don't you care that we drown? Do you think they might have said had a little chat beforehand and said, how remarkable, he doesn't even care that we're going to drown. He just sleeps while we're going through all the terror of this boat. And sometimes you can be in the midst of all that's coming at your life, the buffeting, the difficulties, and you become convinced that God's not in this, that somehow the devil's got involved and God is no longer in control of the circumstances. And you look at what's going on in your life and you say, God, don't you even care that I'm going through this? And another voice says, you deserve this. I sent this to you because I want to teach you to be obedient to me. And that begins to govern our belief on what we think God is going to do in the circumstances. So we can't pray with any sort of faith that Jesus is going to intervene and change the circumstances, because we believe God probably sent the problem anyway. Because he looked at us and said, you need a little bit of thorn in the flesh, so I'll send you a storm to just buffet you and teach you. But when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, be still, be calm. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. There's a lesson in that. The first thing is, he rebuked the wind, but he told the waves to be quiet, to be silent. You see, wind causes waves. Without wind, you're not going to get the waves. And he would not have rebuked the wind if there was not some evil force behind it that needed rebuking. So what he did is he stopped and he listened to his father, and the father showed him, behind this wind, there's an enemy that's going to try and stop you getting to the other side where I want you to go. And I want you to deal with the wind so that the waves can stop and you can proceed on your journey. But so often, we don't know who the heck to rebuke, pray, scream help for, or just duck under the duvet and hope it all passes over. But Jesus says, you got to know what's going on. And he says, right in the beginning, you've got to understand me to understand what is happening. And you and I have got to cultivate a relationship with Jesus that brings us to the point that when buffeting comes, even in the height of it, we're able to say, Jesus, what's going on here? What's my response got to be? Instead of react, fall apart, have a tantrum, throw your toys out of the car. Jesus, what is my response now in this situation? And this is the transforming of our minds that has to take place in our lives, so that when somebody comes at you and hurts you and says things to you which are destructive, instead of reacting to them, you stop and say, Jesus, what's going on here? Is this wind or is this waves? Because there's two different responses I need to make to these two things. And Jesus wants to bring you and I to the place where we begin to change because we are focused on him and not on what's going on around us. And you know, so much of the time we struggle to fill ourselves. Good heavens, this is the first time that's ever happened to me. Dot's phoning me. Why are you phoning me, Dot? We can speak quite openly here. Am I missing the point? Do you want to tell me something? Straighten my little preach out. Okay. Oh, my word. You might recall last week, the Lord said to me, in the eye of the hurricane, you could have winds of 400 kilometers an hour whirling around, but in the middle of it, it is perfectly calm. And that's the place where he wants to bring you and me to. That no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the government's doing, which political party is moving in any particular way, what Europe's, it doesn't matter. We are completely at peace. And it's possible for us to live in that place because that is the purpose that Jesus has for you and my life. That no matter what's coming at you, no matter who's dealing with you in whatever way, if you're being dealt with unfairly at work or unfairly in a circumstance, that you're able to say, Jesus, is this wind or is this a wave? Because I need to know how to deal with this one. Because I want you to know that not every thought that comes at you comes from the Holy Ghost. We are living in a spiritual world where there are enemies who lie to us and try to rebuke, bring us away from the peace of God. And the purpose that God has for us is that we've got to come to the place where we know when to go like that and brush off our shoulder those little demons that come to lie and listen to what God is saying to you. Because there is your peace. Your peace is not in reacting. And there's not one size that fits all. And every time something happens, I do the same reaction and hope I get a different outcome this time, because it never happens. I have to change the way I respond in every circumstance if I'm going to see what Jesus wants to see in my life and in my circumstances. And the Lord's showing me, the big question for us is, what do you believe? You see, you and I are meant to be people who are able to bring from the unseen realm into the seen realm the promises of God. You know, when Thomas was told that the disciples had seen Jesus, he said, unless I can put my finger in the marks where the nails went and in my hand in the side, I will not believe. You see, Thomas was still thinking with natural thought. He was looking for the natural stimulation to say, oh, this is what is happening. But Jesus wants to bring you and I to the place where we begin to live out of the unseen realm. Faith is always in the unseen. You cannot see. It's taking what God says and bringing it into the realm that you and I live in. It's taking the promises of God again and bring them in and saying, now I rebuke the storm, or I rebuke the wind and I tell the waves to be silent, because I'm bringing out of the unseen into the seen world the promise that God has made for my circumstances. And so God is calling you and I. You know, right now you might be faced with somebody who needs healing. And Graham was telling me last week they've had some remarkable healings on the streets. And I believe that we're entering a season where there are going to be more and more people dramatically healed and set free. And the crucial thing to know is, what does Jesus want you to do when you confront one? Anybody with a need. You know, I remember there was a time back in South Africa when we had loads of people kind of have meltdowns. We call them melt and burn, sort of demons coming out of people in meetings. It just happened all the time. We didn't try to do it. It just happened. And we had this team of people, and their job was four blokes, and they just picked them up bodily and took them into a side room because they were going absolutely spastic, and take them in there and minister them quietly and then bring them back in and they can rejoin the meeting. And it was quite a normal thing. But the way it often used to happen is, we didn't shout at any demon or shout at anybody, because the devil, if you shout, has got you in such a nervous state that you don't know what the heck you're doing. So all we did is we just spoke the truth over the circumstances. And the truth that I most often spoke is, I praise you, Lord, that right now by the power of your blood, this spirit is leaving this person and he's going to be set free, or she's going to be set free. And this was most normal. And then we just began to sing and dance. We sometimes danced around the person because we were so overly joyed and convinced that Jesus was going to sort this person out, that we had to do nothing other than rejoice. And they would get sorted out, and then they'd go back in the meeting, and they'd be free. And it was a remarkable time that went on in our life. The thing to know is, how does Jesus want you to respond to your circumstances right now that are facing your life? What is the way that is going to bring about the biggest change? The Lord's saying to you simply, what do you see? When you look at the circumstances, when you listen to my word, what do you believe? Do you believe that my word has application in your life and your circumstances? Or do you believe that this applies to somebody else who's of greater spiritual value in my sight than you are? But the Lord says, you are of equal value to everybody. All I look for is those who will believe. And that's why when he finished rebuking the storm, he said to his disciples, haven't you got any faith yet? I've been with you all this time, and you still can't believe. When I said, let's cross over, we're crossing over. And it's really coming to that place of saying, if this is what the Word of God says, then this is what we're going to do. And God is going to take us to that place. And so, guys, tonight, God said something to us through Claire. He talked about the Lord's burden. And I believe the burden that so many of you are carrying and so many are carrying is this sense of overwhelming failure to win and succeed in the places that God has wanted you to. Some of you have a longing to see the greater things that Jesus has planned for your life. Some of you have a longing to see dead people raised up, to see people set free, to see people healed of all kinds of circumstances, to see your own finances change, your own circumstances change. But so many of us can't believe. And the more information you've got, the greater your faith becomes. The more you know about God, the more you can believe what God says. And what a lot of us are carrying is a massive burden of unbelief. A massive burden which says, this can't happen in my life. This won't happen. Even if I did speak to this situation, it won't change. And so we don't speak to it and it doesn't change. But Jesus is inviting you tonight to take your burden. Take your unbelief. Take your inability to respond to Him and lay it on the altar before Him and say, Jesus, I choose tonight to believe that You are greater than even the things I'm facing in my life right now. No matter what it is, You can overcome this as well. And I choose tonight to respond to You and respond to what You're saying and not respond to the things that I feel. The key simply is this. That scripture that I read you from Romans 12 says, do not copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Some of us have got a greater diet of X-Men and YouTube and all kinds of other things. And we have very little diet of the Word of God in our lives. And you know, so many people say to me, I find it so hard to read the Word. As soon as I read, I get bored, I get distracted, I get irritated, my mind wanders, I keep getting, why do you think that's happening? Do you have this wandering mind? Did you study at school? Were you able to do it? What is getting in the way? Well, it's simply this, guys. There's a spiritual war going on over your mind right at that moment. Because the enemy wants to keep you and me in a place of absolute ignorance about who Jesus is and what He has overcome and what He's accomplished for you. And so what God wants to do is once again put us in a place where we feast every day on this Word. And simply this way. You simply say to that thought when it comes, in the name of Jesus, get off my shoulders. Get out of my mind. I'm not going to go under this. I am going to read this Word tonight. No matter what happens, this Word is going to be part of my life. And come what may, I'm going to feed myself on this today. Because I tell you something, without this, you and I are as good as lost. Without the truth of God's Word flowing in your life and my life, I don't stand a chance. And so I stood up here last Friday and I hadn't a clue what the heck we're going to do, but I just said, Jesus, I trust You. I trust You. In the middle of this storm, when I'm so weak, You're going to be so strong tonight. And Lord, I'm just as weak tonight as I was a week ago. And I thank You that right now You are transforming us, Lord, because You're challenging us, because Your plan for us is to go much higher than we are now. That Your plan for us is to live in the overcoming flower, in the overflow. Not scrape the bottom of the barrel, but live from what flows over it. And I ask You now, Jesus, to come into our circumstances. When I'm weak, You are strong. I want to be still and know that You are God. I want that voice to speak in my heart and say, you are more than an overcomer through Christ. I want that voice to speak into my heart loudly at every moment. The voice that declares without any doubt in whatsoever, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The Holy Ghost who stands in the presence of the Father and the Son is in you right at this moment. The power of God is at work in you right at this moment. And you can live in all of the fullness of His power. Because you are more than an overcomer. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You can do all things through Christ. Who loves you. And my God will make all grace abound to you, so that at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. You will abound in every good work. You will abound. You won't just make come out. You will abound in every good work. Everything that you do for the living God, you will abound. Jesus says, do not worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. You and I can either believe the lie or we can believe the truth. What do you want to believe tonight? You can make that decision tonight. He gives you the right to decide. He takes away the lies of the enemy and he releases his truth as you feed your heart upon the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I choose to feed on you tonight, Jesus. I choose to feed on your love. I choose to feed on your life. I choose to fill my heart with the overwhelming power of your goodness. Thank you that your strength is made perfect in my weakness tonight. Thank you that I am more than an overcomer. Hallelujah. Father, my prayer tonight, Father, for every person in this room, is that you will, for a start, you'll bring us to the point of revelation that some of us have been believing a lie for far too long. And what you want to do tonight is sweep away those lies and release the truth into our hearts and give us the overwhelming revelation of who you are and what you have accomplished. Lord, I ask you for every person in this room that you will put the power and the authority of your cross in each one of our hearts. And you would cause the life of Jesus to flow like a mighty river in this place. I thank you and I praise you. I bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me, please? Just pray in the language of the Spirit for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a supernatural kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, you said those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And the problem is we haven't been doing a heck of a lot of waiting, and we don't want to wait on you that our strength will be renewed. We'll mount up as wings like the eagle. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and we'll not faint. Teach us to wait, Jesus. Teach us to find our satisfaction and our fulfillment in you and you only, Lord. Make us a one with your heart. Make us one in every thing we do. Cause our hearts to beat with your heart, Jesus. Cause our minds to be in a synchronization with the mind of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless and honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every lie of the spirit, every deceiving spirit, every spirit that has come to waylay the people of God. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke every spirit that tries to lie and deceive and confuse. We command you in Jesus' name to be silent and leave these people. We declare the victory of the cross at Calvary over every life tonight. We proclaim the power of the blood of Jesus to save and set free and break every stronghold, Lord. We thank you right now that freedom is the inheritance that you promised us. And freedom, and nothing less than freedom, is what we expect now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight the Lord showed us in the room when we were praying before this meeting. And the Lord reminded us of that parable Jesus told of the woman who lost a coin. And it says she brought a light into the house and she swept clean the floor to find her coin. And she was clear about what she was looking for. She wasn't fuzzy and she wasn't confused. She sought the coin. And she made all the effort to find it. And the Lord says simply this. Begin to become completely clear on what you're looking for. So many times we're like a river that hasn't got a clear course. And so it just floods out on the either side and loses its momentum. The Lord says, know what it is you want. What is it that you are looking for in your life? What is it that you want to see changed in your circumstances? What is it that you are hoping for? What is it that you are living for? What is it that you are speaking over your life every day? And the Lord says, tonight is your turn to make that decision. The coin is what she was looking for. What are you looking for? Do you drift through every day just hoping that something will improve, or are you living with a sense of purpose? Or have you got part of a purpose? But the Lord wants to draw all of your life into one place of seeking His plan and His purpose for your life. And the Lord says, tonight you can only have what you believe you can have. You can't get things that you're not clear on. If you are seeking for healing, you need to become single in your purpose. You can't speak both languages. You can't speak of your disease and hope for healing. You can't speak of your lack and hope for provision. You can't speak of the problems people cause you and hope for breakthrough and victory. The Lord says, tonight, refine your words. The Lord says, cease speaking in agreement with your enemy who comes to cause you confusion, and speak in keeping with the word of God over your circumstances, over your life, over your marriage, over your job, over your finances, over your life. And you will see what you believe. If you're prepared to make a decision tonight, to become single in your intention, to not be a victim, not be buffeted left and right by every wind of teaching, but remain single in what you believe. Jesus is the truth. Jesus has promised me victory. Jesus declared that He is the overcomer. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So I speak to my circumstances in the name of the Lord, and I say to the circumstances, come in line with Jesus. Come in line with the purposes of God. Amen. Speak of your lack. Right now, speak of your lack. Whatever you've got a lack of, don't speak in tongues. It doesn't understand it. Speak in the name of Jesus. I command you, because Jesus said, He supplies all my needs according to His riches. I command lack to leave my life. I command reality to come and the purposes of God to enter my life. Now, the decision you've made has to be supported with what you speak and what you say. From this day on, don't talk about a lack. Talk about the abundance of God in your life. Talk about His promise to meet every need. And I'm not saying luxury, I'm saying need. That every need is met in Christ. If you have a promise from God and you have not seen the fulfillment, then now tonight is the time to begin to say, but God said. But God said, on this day, in this time, God said the following to me. And I choose to believe Him and not believe the lies of my enemy. So tonight I make the declaration, I will enter into the purposes of God, and I will not speak the negative. I will not speak what is not from the purposes of God. If your marriage is in a state of needing some real help in it tonight, then tonight speak over your marriage. Speak over it healing. Speak over it the promise of God. The Word of God says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Declare it over your wife. She is a good find. If God has promised you a husband, or God has promised you a wife, then speak over that wife or that husband. Call them in the name of Jesus Christ. Call in the men of God who will come in and be the husband that you're asking God for. Call in the wife. Call them in, because unless you believe and you hold on to, you will not see. But if you hold on to and you speak not the negative, but speak the positive, you will see the fulfillment of God. If you want to see healing in your body, whether it's in your mind or your body, it's the same thing. Declare it over Jesus, over your body in the name of Jesus. By his stripes I am healed. I declare tonight healing is my portion in Jesus' name. If it's in your mind, put your hand on your head and say, I declare in Jesus' name, by his stripes this mind is healed. If it's in your body, put your hand where it is. Say, I declare by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, by his stripes I am healed. I choose to believe Jesus. From this night, make the decision not to agree with the enemy about your circumstances. Until you see the pain go and the circumstances go, don't change the medication until your doctor takes you off it. But stay on it until he takes you off it, because he will see, he will manifest, he will prove that Jesus has done it. But choose to believe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, guys, I just want to say something to you. If we truly believe, we're the happiest people on God's earth. We have nothing to be unhappy about. Not one problem gets you down. Not one circumstance becomes impossible. Not one circumstance is a source of discontent and unhappiness in your life. You know, a few years ago, Dr. and I went to Bethel, as you know, and we were in this healing room, and the guy said, oh, the Lord's healing some ears out in the corridor. Who'd like to come for healing? So we had a long wait to get to our turn. So I said, well, I'll go and do that. The band was playing and I was listening to this band. And Dot stayed in. I went out in this corridor. Now, like Naaman, I thought they'd at least lay hands on me. They just said, just put your hands on each other's shoulders. And they began to laugh. And they said, thank you, Lord. This is no problem to you. Right now, healing is flowing in this room. And I bless you. And I thank you. Now test your hearing. I said, I can't do this. I've got age-related hearing. So if I'm in a loud, noisy room, I can't hear. But I'm not in a noisy room right now. They said, well, test it when you go home. So I went back into the meeting where Dot was sitting. And I sat down. I said, have they turned this band up? It's heck of a loud. And now the other night, we were in a crowded place. Where were we? With somebody. And I was hearing, and Dot was saying, it's so noisy in here, I can't hear anybody. I said, you should come with me in the corridor. The point I'm making here, they just laughed. They didn't shout. They didn't scream. They didn't even quote scripture. They just laughed. Because when you know who you are in Christ, when you are convinced of the power of the cross, when you are absolutely unshakable in the power of the blood, you just laugh. Because that's all God's doing. His enemy's trying his best. And it says the Lord laughs. So it's time for the people of God to laugh. Lighten up and laugh. Because it's all so good when you believe the truth. Hallelujah. Let's break bread. Can somebody bring that table up? Thank you so much. It's great to remember. All this is only possible because of him who went to the cross and said at the end, it is finished. He said to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I've taken them back from your enemy. Here they are. He was the first guy in the church we're following in the same church. So here it is here. Anna's brought the most spectacular loaf. I think it represents the cord of three strands that cannot easily be broken, but you can see whatever you like as well. But it truly is a wonderful loaf of bread, and it's going to be easier to break than normal. Father, thank you. Jesus, bless you for your truth tonight, Lord. This amazing truth that you've done it all. There's nothing left to do except laugh and believe and refuse to agree with our enemy anymore. Just speak the truth and laugh. So, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful loaf of bread. We are healed. We are healed. Poverty is destroyed. In Jesus' name. So, would you like to come up here and celebrate this freedom which this meal has given you? As you drink this cup, remember, this represents the blood of Jesus that has made a new covenant between us and the Father. We are the privileged sons of the living God. His blood has paid the price so that you don't have to pay it.